He asked me one day, can you paint my heart? So I didn't know what to say. So he brought me into the next room. This was in Mathura when he was on the second floor. And he showed me a very large painting that an Indian person had done in the Indian stylized way. He said, I paid 3,000 rupees for this, but it's not at all to my liking. Radharani looks too old and the proportions aren't nice. So can you do a nicer version? So in the discussion with Gurudev, it came out that if I were to change one thing on that painting, everything else would look worse and I'd have to keep going around changing everything. So this is how it finally came out. But it started with, and you've all seen this, but this is a new print that was just made in India. And they're available down the bottom of the hill for the rest of the festival. So this started with showing Gurudev drawings. And he would say, no, Radharani doesn't look realistic. There. Oh, yeah, somebody else can. Thanks. Radharani doesn't look realistic there, or she looks too heavy set, or she looks too old. And so right from the very beginning of the drawing, it was on Srila Gurudev's guidance. And in case I forget to mention it later, because I'm remembering it now, the conversations that I'm telling you in brief about how this painting was developed, and what Buddhara Prabhu said was right, not only with Srila Prabhupada, but also with Srila Gurudev, that particularly referring to this picture, Gurudev said, this is not a picture, this is Archa Vigraha, and the worth is lakhs and lakhs of dollars, or unlimited, and came out of his heart. When the painting was almost finished, because every time I looked at it, it looked different from what I did. It kept changing itself, and the facial features kept moving around, and there's 10 legs under that one. Everything I did was wrong. Or it seemed right at the moment, and then the next day I came in to look at it, it was wrong. So then 4.5 months down the line, and I was working many, many hours a day on it, but it was just looking like paint. And then towards the end, Gurudev called me from Vrindavan to Mathura, and he said, wherever you can find room, not to make it congested, but wherever you can find room, I want you to put, like shadows, the Manjaris looking in and watching and waiting for their turn to come in and do their service. They don't have to be called. Just by seeing the various ecstasies and hearing the discussion between Radha and Krishna, they would know exactly when the right moment to come in is, to help Krishna in his services to Radharani. Like you see on the sides, some jars and plates of paraphernalia, like kumkum and aguru and tambul. These are all various unguents that Krishna will serve Srimati Radhika with. And they know exactly the right moment to come and give it to them and bring him more service articles. And Radharani then would be Krishna's worshipable deity. So it was almost the end of the painting, 4.5 months. And so then I put them in. I put the Manjaris in. And then I asked them, can this be so-and-so and so-and-so Manjari and so-and-so? He said, yes. I said, is that my kalpana, my imagination? He said, no, that's Yogamaya, that's so-and-so. And I said, can I tell anybody who they are? And he said, no, they will have to realize by their own bhajan who those Manjaris are. Then as soon as they were there, then the whole painting started. I was the same me doing my strokes into the darkness, But then, just by them being there, the whole painting started moving in the right place by itself, which indicates that only by their mercy can one enter into the service of Radha and Krishna. Then, towards the very end, when there was only a few days left, he told me to put the two very significant lockets on, or necklaces, on Radha and Krishna. On him is the Kaustubha gem, which is, he said, make it more brilliant than millions of suns, and like with rainbow-like colors. And on Srimati Radhika, on her neck, is the famous Shamantaka jewel, which came from the head of the demon, Sankachuda. And then Krishna wanted to give it to Radharani, but he didn't want to make any of the other gopis jealous, so he gave it to Balaram, because he knows Balaram knows his heart. Balaram gave it to Madhumangala, Madhumangala gave it to Lalita, and Lalita gave it to Radhika. So in this way, Krishna avoided any incidents. So that also is more brilliant than millions of suns, and with all the colors of the rainbow in it. Then at that, on that meeting, and I would bring it to him every 2 or 3 days. Sometimes, those of you who've been in India, you know about the auto rickshaws. So we would put, it's a very large painting, about 5 feet long, and we put it sticking out the two sides of the auto rickshaw and drive it, of course, in a very strong cardboard, not cardboard, but wooden crate type of effect to protect it. And every 2 or 3 days, we would travel from Vrindavan to Mathura to get further guidance from Srila Gurudev. We brought it to Bombay when he was giving lectures there, everywhere, so that he could keep making the pictures. In Bombay, that's when he told us to put Bailey, Jui, that is jasmine flowers and other kind of flowers in her hair. So at the very end, when we were meeting about the lockets, I said, I don't understand this. This painting has taken me 5 months to do. And all the previous ones I did for the BBT during Srila Prabhupada's time only took maybe a month, sometimes in marathon times 2 weeks. So why did this painting take so long? So he said, your previous paintings were done by your will, but this one was done by my will, and I had to push my will through your will. And that's why it took so long. Now, all the details of the Vigraha, we'll say, are under Gurudev's guidance, because he manifested the picture from his heart, including Krishna's purplish, transparent shirt. Gurudev said that if a young boy wears a transparent shirt, it looks very beautiful. And who do you think posed for Radha and Krishna? Of course, Gurudev told me to get one of these little, like 1 rupee pictures, because Vrindavan artists have been trying to do this picture very traditionally for so many years. And this is the picture you find in actually the place of Radha and Krishna's Rasalila pastimes. The thousands of years old or eternal Seva Kunj in Vrindavan, which is just a couple of blocks from our Rup Sanatan Gaudiya Math, where on the second floor this Vigraha is situated. And Srila Gurudev performed one evening a Pran Pratistha ceremony, as one does for the deities, installing this Vigraha and also Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari with arti and kirtan and mantras. And since then, they're treated as deities, just as Radha Vinod Bihariji downstairs on the first floor, with regular aartis, putting them to rest, waking them up, and bhoga offerings. And Gurudev ordered, when the painting was finished, that they be put in this room on the second floor, which would become the altar, and he ordered us to get life-size deer and peacocks and like a forest of, you know, hanging creepers and bracelets and perfumes, just as it would be in Seva Kunj or Niruvan. So Gurudev posed for Krishna, because we had these little pictures that they sold in Hoi Bazaar, but they were very stiff and didn't have the subtleties of this. She was turned in a different way. She was looking at Krishna with a smile. But that's not the mood of our Guru Parampara. So Gurudev posed both for Krishna and for Srimati Radhika. The one on Krishna's chest right here, and the one on Radharani's neck. It's hard to see, but probably the big pearl looking thing. And on Radharani, the first necklace that you come to, I think. Second.
It's kind of a dark.
I have to see. Yeah, probably. I think it's the garbage one, probably. So in case I forget to mention it later, the conversations that I'm discussing now, how is it that it's so much easy for my memory since it happened in 1993? One of the reasons is that we used to record, well, now still everybody records what Gurudev says, but we would record every conversation so that I could hear it again and again as the paintings developed. And then we transcribed them. So the Harikatha began in those days. And so we made up, at that time, the conversations with the dates and the places. Sometimes they're just very small like this, and then you go on to the next one. So if somebody would volunteer at the end of the class to Xerox them, then in a day or so we can give them out to anybody who requests them. And similarly, in case I forget to mention it later, as you know, there are also paintings of Rupa Manjari and Sri Rati Manjari on the two sides of Seva Kunj, which many of you have on your altars. And the conversations that led up to those vigrahas manifesting are also recorded and on here. So if anybody would like to Xerox 50 or however many copies, or a couple of people would like to help with that, then we can distribute them freely to the devotees. So as I mentioned, all the details of this vigraha came from Srila Gurudev's, of course, heart and words. Regarding the two parrots that are sitting up on the branch, one is Sukha and one is Sati. And you can read a very elaborate their conversation in excerpts from Govinda Lilamrita. But in short, the Sukha, the male parrot, is explaining in various ways how Krishna is superior to Radharani, and the Sari, the female parrot, is expressing the superiority of Srimati Radhika. And then Gurudev said, finally they come to a compromise that together they're both supreme. And on both sides of their throne are tulsi, big tulsi plants. And Gurudev said to make the kadamba trees with creepers surrounding them. And that symbolizes or is a udipan or a stimulus to Radha and Krishna, that Krishna wants Srimati Radhika to be like the creeper and Krishna like the tree. Let's see, is there any more on that? Yes. Gurudev said lakhs and lakhs, that is hundreds and thousands or millions or unlimited pastimes belong to this scene. But one of them is, in one of the visits I made and showed him the picture, he said that Krishna was worried that Radharani's main nature is Bhamyabhav, that is contrary nature, playing hard to get. But now she's so easygoing and submissive. This does not give her highest happiness or me the highest happiness. So he's thinking what to do to inspire her normal mood. So he pretended to commit an offense and he came late. And on top of coming late, he pretended that he was thinking of Chandravali while looking at Radharani. So he said, "Oh, my dear Chandra Anani." Because Chandra Anani means one whose face is as beautiful as many moons, and Chandravali means like a beautiful moon-like creeper. And that refers to Radharani's rival, who's only her expansion anyway. So Radharani was already in a rejecting mood, and now it's total rejection. Then you can just go back there. And I don't want to have any relationship with you anymore. She said, "I can see why you have these beautiful colors on your face, like red and purple. You look like Nila Rudra. Nila means like a purple. Rudra means like Lord Shiva. Oh, you look just like Lord Shiva, purplish blue. Because I can tell you've been with some other gopi, and that's how you got all these signs on your face. But what really happened is, Krishna gets so absorbed in Radharani, he totally loses himself and forgets who he is. As you've been hearing in the last couple of nights, Krishna is a dwayagyan paritattva. Everything is in him, everything is emanating from him, and yet when he looks at Radharani, he forgets who he is. He just gets lost in her. And because he's absolute, he's non-different from his thoughts, so he's so absorbed in her that the thoughts of her go on his body. So it's actually her eyeliner and her lipstick that's now on him from his absorption. And she's saying, "I know why that's there, and you can just go back to where you came from." And then Krishna is going like this. Oh, so Lalita is convincing her. He was just a moment late. He never thinks of anybody else anyway, but in front of you, he especially can't remember any other gopi. So then she said, finally, after much coaxing from her sakis, she says, "Okay, I'll forgive him, but he has to beg pardon and serve my feet and paint my feet." So Krishna becomes thrilled. This is his desire. So he takes a paintbrush made of peacock feather, the end of a peacock feather, or a brush, a soft brush, and he writes his name. You'll see his name on her lotus feet, around her toes and on the bottom, because he knows better than anybody that nam and nami are one. Myself and my name are non-different. So if I put my name there at her feet, then I'll be there forever. So, but as soon as he started touching her feet, his heart immediately started trembling and his hands started trembling. So what came out was an art, not exactly a neat name, but like an art. And Gurudev said, "Don't make it like a heebie-jeebie, like too congested, but make it his name, but like an art." You can imagine if God is writing and he's trembling in ecstasy, what kind of artful thing that would be. And then Gurudev also said to, he gave me a picture, a Xerox picture. He immediately sent out one of his brahmacharis from his book to get a Xerox picture of her hand. You know how they have these black line drawings of the, what do you call those, markings of her hand. He said, "Don't put them all in because then it will become too congested, but make a few that will look nice. So if you look close, you see some markings on her, auspicious markings on her hand." And I think that will be the end for this picture because there are so many others. He said, "This picture will be famous all over the world." Yeah. Yeah. So it's a fourth time we made it happen. Oh, she has a shawl like this, mm-hmm. but you notice that it's a see-through shawl, because the gopis are very chaste and simultaneously very revealing at the same time. Yes?
You said Gurudev said there's hundreds of pastimes. But what
millions and unlimited pastimes.
Is there a predominant one?
Well, that's one of them that he told. There are so many. Yeah, you can call that a prominent one.
He's told you more?
Well, he's told everybody more. And they're in so many books also. Maybe as we discuss the other paintings, we'll also mention more.
What are the square things in the little plate? There's like three of them.
That's tambul, or pan. It's made of betel nut leaves and some spices inside. And I once asked Gurudev regarding that they both, and the other gopis also, they eat betel nut leaves, which are an intoxicant. You know, like people chew pan, and so their teeth are all red in India. It's an intoxicant. So why do Radha and Krishna need to take an intoxicant to increase their praying? Like people in the material world, they get drunk and then they have all kinds of loving relations. So and also, why do they drink honey wine also, which is made of honey and the juice, mixed with the juice of different fruits? So Gurudev said they're not getting intoxicated by the betel nuts or by the honey wine, because the honey wine and the betel nuts are just made of the forest of Vrindavan, and the forest of Vrindavan is just an emanation of their own prema. So it's their prema itself, Mahabhav and her mother Nakyabhav, which is already the highest ecstasy in prema, the highest intoxicated ecstasy, maddened ecstasy, and it's increasing unlimitedly. It's already unlimited, yet it's increasing unlimitedly at every moment. And they just use these things as excuses. Because in existence, there's only Radha and Krishna, Shakti and Shaktiman. And they expand as everything else to expand their pastimes. Okay, then I don't see the... Oh, that's right. So the veil is transparent, so she's looking away from him, rejecting him, but she's also glancing at him with her sarvam glance. And Prabodhi Nanda Saraswati Thakur sang, or wrote, that with simply her sidelong glance, Krishna feigns his peacock feather fall from his hands, his pitambara, his robe falls from his shoulders, and he's just about to faint, and he does faint. So what to speak of if she would look at him head on? So she's giving him a sidelong glance there. And Gurudev said, this is Kila Kinchit Dabhav. It's a combination of apparently contradictory moods of simultaneously crying and smiling and anger and flirtation. And both Krishna and Radha are experiencing that Kila Kinchit Dabhav. And the, yes.
Somebody told me that at that point Krishna was so stunned and amazed that he decided he had to taste Madhurada.
Can you speak louder?
Somebody told me that Krishna became so amazed at what he was seeing that he decided he wanted to taste what Srimati Radharani was tasting and decided to advent himself in Kali Yuga. Is this correct?
Well, something like that. Those are his three desires. He becomes so overwhelmed by her love and her ability to taste in him what he can't taste, and her happiness that's 10 million times more than his, that he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes he's looking at himself in a mirror or in a reflected pillar, and he becomes so overwhelmed and enchanted by his own image that desire increases to the point where he wants to love him like Srimati Radhika, and that makes him want to become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's so many ways to see it. Yes?
The bhav that's achieved in the state of the pastime, when Mahaprabhu is present, is he achieving those same? In other words, does Krishna achieve the love?
What Krishna desired to achieve is achieved as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So he has all the same feelings and emotions as Srimati Radhika.
Krishna has all the same emotions and moods as Srimati Radhika, almost.
So it doesn't fulfill it 100% as Srimati Radhika.
He can never be Radhika. He experiences her Madanaki Mahabhav to his fullest extent, but he can never become her. She always remains as a separate person and watches him in the form of Gadadhar Pandit. Yes, his desires are fully fulfilled. He experiences all her moves. In fact, what we don't know, when I said almost, I just meant that he doesn't become her. He can't take her moves, because some people say he stole her moves, and that's why he's called Gaura Hari. But he can never steal her moves, because she's always too alert, because she's his intelligence. She's his intelligence. She's the embodiment of his intelligence.
So what's the difference? It's not stealing a mood, so he's what?
He, like, we adopt the mood of our Gurudev. We want to. But still he has his mood. We couldn't take it from him.
Thank you.
When you first explained to me about...
What is that thing?
It's Gornitai. Oh, Gornitai. Where is Gornitai?
Next.
Oh, so... then, but then, just quickly, the next two paintings were Rupa and Rati Manjari's. And if we had them here, they are here? Oh, they're very small. Okay, we'll discuss Gornitai first and then go to Rupa and Raji.
I just have to change the tape.
Okay. All right, while he's changing the tape, we can bring Rupa and Raji right here. I hope none of you are hungry, because this is going to be a long class, because you can see we're just starting. In fact, she's wearing a nose ring. You see, she's wearing a nose ring. And those of you who've seen these pictures of Rupa and Rati close up, you see that they're wearing a nose ring. And nose ring here, coming down from the nose, and nose ring here. One of my godbrothers told Gurudev at one of the times that I was showing him the Rupa and Rati paintings that we shouldn't have prominent nose rings because it covers part of the mouth. So Gurudev said, no, unless nose ring is there, one cannot be a gopi. And then he told one pastime of the significance of the nose ring, which is Radharani is in Man, and she refuses to talk to him. So Krishna came over, and she's sitting there stringing a garland. And Krishna's standing there waiting for her to look up, thinking that, well, if she just looks at me, then I can strike up a conversation, I can, you know, make such a wonderful face, that expression that will just charm her. But she's not looking up, and he's waiting and waiting, and so many minutes are going by, and he's just standing there getting more and more frustrated, and she's becoming more and more happy that, you know, he's under her control, and she's starting to smile, but she doesn't want him to know that she's can't help that a smile is coming, so she covers it by pretending that she's fixing her nose ring as she's making the garland. So all the paraphernalia are all manifestations of her Madanaki Mahabhav, her love for Krishna. So Gurudev, after the Seva Kunj painting was done, Gurudev told me that there's two alcoves on the two sides at Rupsanatan Gaudiya Math, and he wants Manjari's there, Rupa and Rati. And he said that they are not jivas, but they are her kaya viva rup, manifestations of her body. And they are manifestations of her various moods. Various manjaris and sakis are manifestations of her various combinations of moods. And this is a little bit hard to explain, because Gurudev wanted two things in one picture. That is, he said, she's standing at the doorway of the Kunj, and Radharani's inside alone, in Man, in transcendental loving anger, and Krishna's not there, and she's waiting so that just in case that black snake comes, her order is to keep them out. She doesn't ask Lalita and Vishaka to do this. She orders only the Manjaris to do it, because they'll never take a bribe or be convinced by Krishna in any way, like Lalita and Vishaka might. So she's standing here waiting on guard as a chokidar, that if that black person comes, she'll send him away. And then he comes like a cat, very quietly and stealthily, and with his chudder around his neck, as one does when he's very humble and apologetic. And before he's allowed to come in, Rupa Manjari or Rati Manjari or their assistants will say, before we let you in, first tell us where you came from, because we're ordered not to let any black snakes in here. So such a person who can control Krishna like this, nobody can bluff that guru in this world. Nobody can cheat him or hide from him. So then Krishna makes up some story, or it's not even made up, that he said, I was trying to get here, but then I was waylaid by Bhadra and Saibya, and I was forcibly pulled against my will. So no compromise. She says, no problem, just go right back to where you came from. I'm not allowing you in. So then Krishna would have to fall at her feet and weep and beg. And in one of Ashwarupa Goswami's songs, he prays, just like we may pray, when will I be so humble as to fall at the feet of Krishna in sincerity? Rupa Goswami is praying, when will I have that mercy that Krishna falls at my feet and begs that I will help Radharani to get rid of her mind so that Krishna can come and see her. When I was doing the paintings, and I asked Gurudev that unless nothing's going to go in my heart, but unless something at least goes into my mind, it's not going to come out my hand. So can you tell me some things to think while I'm painting this? So Gurudev told that prayer. I said, what prayers can I think of? He said that prayer of Srila Rupa Goswami. Another thing to remember is Utkalika Balari, one prayer, one set of verses by Srila Rupa Goswami, prayers, that when will I be there when Srimati Radhika says, keep that black person out, that Subal Saka, that friend of Subal, he may even come in the form of a woman, disguised as a woman, but you should know that it's him. And I don't even want to see anything black. So you should cover all your black hair with white flowers, because anything black, I'll reject it. So even you gopis, if you want to come in the Kunj, cover your hair with white flowers. I don't even want to see a black bee. So in that way, she's Rupa Goswami is praying, but in his internal form as Rupa Goswami, and in his other Vastu city, his Siddhadeya as Rupa Manjari, he's guarding so that friend of Subal won't even be able to get in as a disguise. Then if he's very sincere, Krishna, and weeps enough, then she'll take him by the hand and first getting permission from Srimati Radhika and then take him in. So here you notice she has a chamara, and that's for whisking away mosquitoes or flies And also, she's standing on guard. And also, if in the case that Radha and Krishna are both already inside, then she's standing outside with her chamara and waiting, because she'll know the exact moment when to go inside and render her various services. And Gurudev was explaining how to decorate the kunj, and the doorway is made of flowers, and everything is made of flowers. Now, I also asked him, and during the course, he said, don't make them look American. Don't make it without tons of jari on it, so that it looks like an actual gopi dress. And I said, where should I make the garlands? And he pointed on different places of his own body. And that's why you see the garlands in all those places. Now, I think this is Rocky Mountain. When we were doing Rati Manjari, Gurudev said she's not covered enough, so we covered her, put more cloth on her shoulders. And he said that she should be holding, and you can see she's also standing there as a guard, or waiting for her service, depending if Krishna is outside or inside. And holding a plate of unguents for Krishna to serve Srimati Radhika, namely the aguru and sandalwood. They do everything. They don't buy anything. They do everything by hand. In fact, Gurudev was saying, it's best when you serve your deities if you're making things yourself. So they make their own ink for writing messages on lotus leaves and giving it, bringing Krishna's messages to Radha or vice versa. They squeeze their own flowers for making ink, and they make their own aguru scent and sandalwood paste. And what else is there? Kasturi musk from the deer. And, oh yes, I asked if I should put Chintamani dust at their feet, because we know Chintamani, Gurudev was explaining Chintamani, Chintamani, anything you chinta, anything you think about, you get that right away. And Chintamani fulfills all desires. So I said, should I make it grass, or should I make it the Chintamani dust? And he said, make it grass, because their ankle bells are much more powerful than any Chintamani dust for pleasing Krishna, for attracting Krishna, for enchanting Krishna. Not because of the value of the stone, because their ankle bells are made of Chintamani. Not because of the value of the stone, but because of the charm with which they wear it. We don't have, for reasons that it's too confidential, we don't have typed up transcriptions of these other two mandiris, but I'll tell you a little bit of what he said. This is Vinod Mandiri and any other mandiri. That's his exact words. Vinod Mandiri and any other mandiri. So, as it's stated in the prayer, I asked him when I was painting Vinod Manjari, again, please give me something to think about so that something can come through my hand. I'm just your paintbrush, but something has to come in there. So, he gave me a prayer to, I said, I don't know Vinod Manjari, and I don't even know the your Gurudev in this world. So can you give me some prayer so that I can feel more close to them? So he said, Tambula panapada mardana payadama visaradibi Vrindaranya maheshwarim priyataya taso sayanti priya Prana presta sakhi kulada pikila samko chita bhumikai Keli bhumi surupa manjari makasta dasuka samsayena. That means I take shelter at the lotus feet of the Manjaris, headed by Sri Rupa Manjari, who is always engaged in offering Srimati Radhika water to drink, water to wash her lotus feet, taking her out on her meetings with Krishna, engaging in all the services, and they're so intimate with Srimati Radhika, she considers them her own body, that they go and serve in places where even Lalita and Vishakha and Priyanarm Sakis like them hesitate to go and don't go. Then he kept insisting on very, very opulent gopi dresses with lots and lots of jari. Now, you can't see it from this close, from this far, but if you get close, and especially if you see the original painting, you'll see that the end of her braid goes like that. It comes like that, like the hood of a serpent. And the reason is, Gurudev explained on one of my visits to Mathura when she was three quarters manifest, that what to speak of fainting when he sees Radharani, even when he sees Radharani's maidservants, he becomes so enchanted he's about to faint. So therefore, he becomes bitten by that cobra, by the enchantment of her moving braid. And you see that she's like this, kind of holding her veil, poncho. And Gurudev, one day, he was inspired. You know, every walk is a dance, so you can see that everything's like a dance with them. So once when he saw the painting almost finished, he was inspired to say, she's following Radharani, or taking Radharani, rather, to Nanda Bhavan to cook with her, to have the sister in cooking for Krishna. So when Mother Yasoda sees her coming, even Mother Yasoda is so enchanted, and she knows that if they're coming, then Radharani is coming, even if Radharani hasn't shown herself yet. And she becomes so enchanted by this Manjari that she says, "Would you like to marry my son?" She says, "Not interested." This is the intrinsic feature of the Manjaris. Just as the bee will not sit on the manjari or the stamen that comes up from the flower, he'll sit on the flower and play in the flower and drink from the flower, because not because the manjaris don't have any sweet fragrance or honey, but because if he sits on them, they just go back and forth. So this is a characteristic of the manjaris. No. Of course, it's also the characteristics of Radharani and the gopis, but totally with the manjaris. So she's saying no. And she's holding fruit, waiting to go in for her services. Now, you can see it's kind of dark out. It could be evening, because Gurudev likes to get lots of pastimes in one picture. So,
what's jari?
Huh? Jari is the gold filigree designs, both on the borders and inside, you know, as designs. Like everybody has designs in their saris, and these are made of opulent gold, golden thread. Can you speak loudly?
If it's a loser, it's chatter and things.
Does faint. A lot of times he faints and rolls on the ground and weeps.
Did you ever ask anybody when that happened, what for the mandara, what happened? Did you revive them?
With Radharani, that is. Well, we mean when he's already down? Sometimes Radharani may pass by and say something, or his friend may say something, or to revive him. I don't know too much on the Krishna side. There are some literatures, though, by Srila Rupa Goswami, very confidential. Then one last thing about the N2 gopis. And there's a generic name for any other gopi. You can call her any other gopi, or you can. There's a generic name that's used in the Gaudiya Mutt. Generic means it's not a brand name, it's general. That they call her Guru Rupi, Guru Rupa Manjari, means the Guru in the form of a Manjari. And when my godbrothers were going to visit him, they kept begging him to ask for who is that any other Manjari? What is her name? Who is she? He said, anybody could think they are his guru. I can think he's my guru. You can think he's your guru. So he left it open for that. So without further ado, I'll skip that part and go to the next. I just asked him, when Rupa, Sanatana Goswami was hearing from Lord Chaitanya about the avatar for this age, the Kali Yuga avatar, and Lord Chaitanya was describing him, and Sanatana Goswami was getting too many ideas and started asking too many questions, and Lord Chaitanya immediately said, well, let's go on to Shaktavish avatar. So I'll just tell you one last thing about these two end pictures. Again, I said, I have to know at least a little bit how to think so that something can come through the hand. So he said, because they're looking, they're both looking in. He said, they're both looking at each other. Radha and Krishna are now it's night, and Radha and Krishna are in the kunja, and they're both looking at each other like very happy and congratulating each other that we helped to get Radha and Krishna together, that Krishna was previously with Chandravali, engaged in amorous discussions, and one of them went there, one of the two went there and said, oh Krishna, you have to hurry. Your one small calf is going to be killed in the very next second by one big bull demon that just came into Vrindavan. Hurry up now, otherwise it'll be too late. And then Krishna immediately jumps up and says, yes, I'm just now coming back. I'll be right back. You know how the Indians say, just coming when they're going? So then Krishna's going, and the Manjari leads him to Radha's kunja. So on the way, Krishna can't keep his balance. And he's, because he knows where he's going and he's already feeling so much separation. Sometimes when you get closer to a goal, you can't bear it more than when you could bear it when you're further from the goal. That's a whole class in itself. If you get the Origin of Rathayatra book, that theory is there in such a way that I promise that you'll weep if you read that in that book. So everybody, if you can get that book, you'll be happy you did. And you'll also weep. You'll weep in happiness. So Krishna was getting closer to his goal, but he wasn't able to keep his balance. He was like fainting on the way, as Radhika does when she goes to cook for Krishna in the morning. So in order to keep his balance, he put his arm on the shoulder of the heir. Sometimes the heir is a messenger. A Manjari may be a messenger, or an heir may be the messenger. When Krishna is late, then Vrinda, who is in charge of everybody, including the heir, in Vrindavan, she orders her heir servant to go and find out where Krishna is and bring him back. So the heir may go to where Krishna is with Chandravali, and bringing Radharani's fragrance. It will go up the mountains, into the seas, into the valleys, where nobody else can go, and into the deep jungles and find Krishna. Bringing Radharani's fragrance, and then the air brings Krishna back, and Krishna rests his arm on the shoulder of the air to reach safely. So Raghunath, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami prays, when will I witness that scene? So when Gurudev was saying how they could be, one of the pastimes is that they're looking at each other, happy that they were responsible for bringing Krishna back to Radharani's Kunja, I said, but I thought that that's the service of Sri Rupa Manjari, because that prayer is in Srila Rupa Goswami's works, that when will I be able to give that message and trickily, in a cheating way, get Krishna out of that kunja to where Srimati Radhika is. So I asked him, and as he says, I'm opening I give the key to open the lock to the treasure. So one thing that he says makes us open to so many other understandings when we read so many different things. So then Gurudev answered, they can all do that service. So all the followers of Sri Rupa Manjari, or all the followers of Srila Rupa Goswami, they have the same kind of services, though she's the leader. And then when I finished the Seva Kunj painting, I just remembered one other thing, two other things. He said, oh, thank you. What can I give you for this? I have nothing to give you. Just like Lord Chaitanya told King Prajaparudra when he was singing Gopi Geet, I have nothing to give you. I'll give you myself. And he embraced him. He said, thank you, thank you. And then he said, like he was pretending to catch himself, and he said, oh, when one is near and dear, there's no thank yous. So if Gurudev doesn't thank you, don't mind it. If you're doing service and he doesn't thank you, mind it if he says thank you. Say, wait a minute. Are you trying to separate me from you? Then one last thing is that during the course of the painting, he told me that when you finish this painting, you're going to have so many realizations. So then I was coming to the end of the painting, and then I did my last stroke, and then it's done, and then I kind of thought, well, where am I now? Hey, I'm in the same place as I was when I started the painting. Hey, no fair. And I went to Gurudev and complained. And then I was remembering as I was going to complain that I was indiscriminately, I know this is a very good group. This is a Swajatiya group, like-minded group. And so I don't feel that I'm going to get any sinful reaction for this. But what was happening when I was doing the paintings was that anybody, no matter whether they were Vijatiya, you know, unlike-minded, against party, anybody, as Gurudev was saying things, I was just as I did with Prabhupada. As soon as Prabhupada said something, I repeated it, and that's how I still remember it today. So I thought, well, it's just the same thing with Gurudev. And so then when I said to Gurudev, well, you said I was going to get so many realizations and I'm the same person, then all the flashbacks came back. And then I said, oh, is it because I told this to the wrong people, all the secrets that you told me? He said, yes, I put all the treasures in your treasure chest, and then you opened up the treasure chest top and everything flew out. So that taught me to be a little careful. But I, looking around, and you all look like Swajatiya people. So now Gornatai. Gurudev ordered me some months later that every year he holds a Janmashtami Eve procession through the town of Mathura, and many of you have been there, where tens of thousands of residents of Mathura line the streets on both sides like a parade, and Gurudev's party decorates all the streets, especially near the mud, but it travels far. And then people have these spray guns of scented, misty water that gets sprayed as the procession goes, and Gurudev rides on this big horse and chariot, and there are others, chariots for the deities, Radha and Krishna, Gaura-Nitai, and there are different kirtan parties, ladies, men, Indian, Western, stick dancing, all kinds of musicians, elephants, decorated elephants, the night before Janmashtami every year. So he wanted them to ride on one of the carts. So he wanted me to paint them. So he also posed for them. He stood up, this was in Mathura, he stood up from his bed and so graceful and grave and like in a swoon and made his feet do what they're doing. And so I was showing him first, as always, I was showing him the drawings first. And then he would comment on the drawings, and gradually the drawings would become color sketches. I would show him the color sketch to make sure the color scheme is right. And then it would go onto canvas. So the drawing...
Sorry to interrupt your presentation, but just for production purposes, later on to make this go very smoothly, could we have a couple of employees lift each painting to the side where you're sitting?
Want to do it now?
If you
okay.
Would like, yeah, because I'm thinking
switch.
Ahead. Otherwise it becomes impossible to produce the video properly.
So when I was showing him the sketches, it was only Gaura-Nitai, nobody else was there. And one big tree in between them. And then what you see as the top, that was the top of the tree. But the whole thing was Gaura-Nitai, that one little calf, and a very, very big tree. And that was the whole picture. And Gurudev was just giving various comments, nothing about the tree. And then we did the color sketch, the tree was there. Then this big, huge 4-foot painting, the tree is there. Gurudev's